Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We are going to be covering Outlander Season 7, Episode 13, Hello, Goodbye. And Outlander Season 7, Episode 14, You Didn't Get Used to It.
The titles to these episodes are so stupid.
They're running out.
Oh, they really are running out of good ones. I'm actually just terrified to think of what the names of the titles for season 8 are going to be.
Well, I haven't looked at
it.
It has come out, like some episodes, like maybe two episodes or three. Two episodes have come out and we have not watched it.
We
yet.
Have not, because we're busy watching season 7 for your benefit. So there you go. Don't say we don't love you. We love you. Actually, we do. We love you.
And we do.
We love that we have listeners all over the world.
And if you want to share your two cents, we have an email, buzzedbinging@gmail.com, where you can send in any of your thoughts and we will answer it on the podcast.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. In the meantime, we have disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing. There will be spoilers for this show. You really need to get caught up through season 7 to get ready for season 8 if you have not done so already. It's time. Yes, it is a lot of an investment of your time, but it is, we hope, worth it. And we certainly hope that it's worth it to listen to our summaries of it. That might be a way to do it without having actually watch the show, although I think there are good things in the show, so there we go. And we are having things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having the chai latte mixture with milk, but I'm having it iced.
Interesting. I'm having it hot because, you know, why not? Did you finish it?
No.
Oh.
This is a tiny little thing, Mom.
I got optimistic. We had only a little bit left, so... All right, let's get started. I'm kind of thinking 1739 is short-ish and probably the easiest to get through.
Because it's stupid.
It is boring. So stupid. This is the stupid Roger side quest, in case you're wondering. Like, you're thinking, oh, 1700s, it must be Jamie and Claire. No. No,
well,
it's not.
I mean, here's the problem. As much as I dislike this subplot, I still love Roger. So Roger having some kind of emotional something does like affect me, but it's like I hate it for affecting me because it's been such a long, drawn out, boring subplot up till now.
It really has been so stupid.
Yeah,
just stupid as a side quest.
So essentially we get a fake out and we think maybe Jem is in their time. No, he's not. And so he eventually finds his father and explains, hey, we're from the future. Not like that he's, yeah, no, I guess, yeah. He's from a further future than his dad is, but he does not explain that he is his son. So they basically help him escape from being hanged as a treason,
his
hands cut off. His
dad, as you might remember, had been lost as a pilot in World War II. We get some of that backstory, like basically dad's engine conked out, and it conked out in the Highlands, and so he ended up going through the stones. He was trying to walk back to some place that he knew, and there was a set of standing stones in the place where later the dam will be, which is kind of how Roger backdoors this whole finding his dad thing.
It's also why there is kind of a portal in the tunnels at the dam.
Yes. So Roger's dad apparently had stolen some food, and the Highlanders in 1739 are going to kill him. And so Roger and William Mackenzie decide they're going to save him. Roger won't tell his dad who he is. And I think that there's a reason for that. Like, he wants his dad to be very focused on going back to his dad's original timeline so that he doesn't feel obligated to stay with Roger or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or try to get more information about his future.
Right.
Because if Roger were to reveal it, I was originally going to put him not telling him as a worst part, but in hindsight, it really doesn't, it makes a lot of sense why he doesn't, because if he did tell his father who he was, then his father would just be asking all these questions about like, well, how did you get here? Why did you come here? What's the deal with this? And
He'd have to explain he was dead or thought he was dead. So, yeah.
he really does not want to do that because also it's disheartening to hear that you, if you, even if you go back to your original timeline, there is still a very high probability of your death, considering, like, as far as we know, everything's a closed loop. So you can't
But they
really
don't make it a
control.
closed loop. It's kind of weird the way they do this. So, right after Dad goes through the stones, because Roger tells him, you just focus on your wife, focus on your wife.
Under his breath, he says, I love you.
And Roger then has a vision of his dad holding him in like the underground. So his mom was killed in bombing, I guess, one of the Blitz bombs of London. She was hiding, and that's what they did. They would hide people in the underground to try to keep them
If you
safe.
remember the hit movie Atonement.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to bring it up.
Movie.
I had to bring it up.
Fantastic book, great movie,
Very
flawlessly.
sad.
But yes,
I
very
wasn't
sad.
prepared for how sad it was
Oh,
when
terribly
I
sad.
first watched it a
Terribly,
couple
terribly
years
sad.
ago, maybe a year or two ago.
Here's my thing. So if we've created a new timeline by r having Roger's dad go back and actually be with Roger during one of these bombings or something, then what the fuck? There's got to be a parallel timeline. How the fuck is Roger in this timeline in 1739? Like, if his dad existed, none of the stuff involving Brianna or Reverend Wakefield or any of that stuff would have happened. So, like, are we in completely parallel timelines? Are we supposed to think that there is all kinds of like mystical stuff happening simultaneously all over the
I
place?
think what they want us to assume is that
A
regard.
multiverse? Oh, so God, please, no.
No. What I was assuming, since they didn't feel like they needed to address the ramifications of it, I think what they want us to assume is that regardless of him returning back to his original timeline, he still died during the war and Roger still ended up with Reverend Wakefield.
Yeah, one of the things that Roger says though is that we won the war. Like he wants his dad to have something to look forward to in going back. So, and he's like, "We did." And he's like, "Yes, you're making a difference. Go back, do
Yeah.
heroic stuff." And that's pretty much that timeline. Yay!
And William Mackenzie is there and really not
Why?
doing anything.
I mean, there is a brief moment where William Mackenzie's like, I never knew my biological father either. Like, I wasn't raised by the people that I was biologically related to. And it's
Which
like,
doesn't prompt Roger to tell him anything about his actual biological parents, given
who
it's in the future.
he just met them. But yeah,
I don't know why he doesn't, but
I got
I mean,
nothing.
considering in William Mackenzie's timeline, the original timeline that like Claire and Jamie are in, both Galis and Dougal are both dead, so it doesn't really make a difference if like they make it back to that timeline and he finds out about this, it doesn't really matter.
It's wild and crazy, but that Roger's fucking with timelines somewhere in some way, and we don't fully understand it or anything else.
And I
So,
don't think the show does really cares about it.
no, I don't
Even
think
though
so.
they have this whole subplot for so many episodes, this entire half of this season.
It is a time travel show, so there should be some clarity from a time travel perspective. And I'm kind of starting to feel a little bit like I'm going on some Sheldon,
What?
going on a rant about physics and time and blah, whatever. So,
Well, I think something that they could have done to make this subplot more appealing to me is I don't necessarily mind his father having gone back in time or whatever. That I don't really care about, but like, I think they should have found him way sooner, had a lot more time with him, and then sent him back in a more emotional way.
yeah.
Because Roger, we see glimpses of Roger like seeing the life he never got to have because his father died and him relating to him and just being very, it's a very nice, some very nice moments, but it's all condensed into maybe 5 minutes of this one episode, and then he's sent back to his original timeline where he supposedly dies. So I don't understand why the writers didn't take that like emotional like cow and just like milk all of it.
She's doing an actual utter milking thing
Well,
here, people.
it's such an Outlander thing to milk that shit. So I'm confused about why they didn't. It pisses me off.
We've had a lot of weird milk jokes here lately, so I just don't even know how to say that. In any case, so let's move on to
Brianna.
1970s. Yeah, Brianna. Brianna has tied up Sir Philip. I'm going back to calling him Sir
Has
Philip
not
because
called
I
the
want to.
police yet, even though that should have been her first thing.
Puts him in the priest hole, threatens him, locks him up. Mandy, and actually she goes to call and the phone lines have been cut. So Mandy doesn't feel Jemmy. They get in the car to go talk to the police, but all of a sudden Mandy starts feeling Jemmy again.
Is it like a radar thing? Like, I'm so
It's like,
confused.
so they start playing hot and cold. Like,
They
that makes
drive
no sense to me.
basically all night.
They do all night to get, close to where the tunnel is.
All of this episode and supposedly next episode is all one single night. And it's bizarre because I guess the Rob Cameron thing happened early afternoon. She's playing hot and cold with her child for hours, and maybe it's winter and it gets dark early, but either way,
No, it's not into the next. Well, I guess you're right. It is into the
it would
next.
have
So
to
yeah,
be.
Brianna nearly hits Jemmy with the car.
Well, okay, you skipped quite a bit there. Jemmy was in the tunnels and he listened to his mama and her
That's smart.
story, and so he was taking initiative and he found a way out of the tunnels. We have a brief moment where he might be going back in time accidentally, but no, he doesn't. Of
He
course
hears
not.
his father. His father's yelling Jeremiah, and he's like, "Da, whatever."
But
Da.
he makes it out of the tunnels, and Brianna nearly hits him with the car. And I can only imagine her
Oh,
Mandy just going like, "Hot, really hot, red hot."
she says some of that.
I know
Like,
she
really
does.
hot. Oh,
And
it's like, oh
Jemmy
shit.
feels really bad that because Brianna is completely honest with her child by being like, "Yeah, no, your dad thought you went back in time again, and so we had to go find you."
Right. And so,
Thank God she stayed behind. Otherwise, this child would have gone back to literally nothing.
true. Or I almost, some part of me thinks the writers were kind of like, well, maybe we can like go, everybody go to 1739, be with Roger, or maybe go the other way. Maybe. And they
They've
just
been
went with,
feeling like back and forth on
they
that, and
went,
I feel
and then
like they
go back and
should
forth on
have.
that in the show, which is annoying. And I'm sure it cost an enormous amount of money, but whatever. So, Brianna drives the kids and the cops to Lallybroch, and Sir Philip is gone. And she is explaining to the cops, like, hey, he took my kid, it's bad, go find him. And they're kind of like, are you having an affair with this guy? They're very, again, it's very sexist.
Even though there's a female cop on the team, I'm just like, okay, well, you could have easily have made this another really heavy-handed Outlander moment where every man is judging Brianna or questioning her. But even the female cop's like, oh, well, did you have an affair with him? It's like, what?
Honestly, I can see that being a question,
Yeah, but
but
they harp on it.
well, some of it is she's very evasive in her answers. Like she does, she says she did, she's clearly lying when she says she doesn't know why Rob Cameron wanted her child. Like she is clearly lying about that. She hesitates. She's clearly lying about that. She's clearly lying about where her husband is and how to reach him. So I can see why they're skeptical of the story she's giving. But of course, we know because we've watched all of it that, hey, Roger's just not there. And they should be listening to her.
I also just genuinely think that regardless of like if you believe her story currently, her child was still missing and in danger. So maybe listen to some of the aspects. I
But
understand the
listen to the
skepticism.
children. So they don't. They are not interviewing the children. They have a separate police officer, a woman who is supposed to, I guess, comfort the kids. Now, that is extremely progressive for 1978. Like, they didn't even have that kind of thing here in the States. I'm shocked that that would be a thing in Highland Scotland, but okay. But clearly, no one's comparing notes. Like, the kids say X happened, and because you would interview the children in these
Well,
circumstances.
Mandy's no help.
Well,
So it's
Mandy's
really, but like,
not, but
listen to Jemmy.
yeah,
Jemmy
Jemmy's
was the one
very
that was kidnapped
articulate.
by Rob Cameron.
Mandy's very articulate.
And in
So,
the end, does it really matter why he was kidnapped?
no, it
He was
doesn't.
kidnapped.
Right. But they, by the time Brianna is talking to the cops, he's not. It's not like they have to go find him. They would have to get that story, corroborated from him. Because right now she's just like, hey, they took my kid. And they're kind of like, well, you're lying about all this other stuff. Maybe he didn't take your kid. Maybe he hasn't been in your house and all this other stuff. And so.
Regardless, Brianna's pissed and she takes the kids to Fiona and is like, please take care of my children. I'm going back to the very dangerous castle where I know that there will probably be people coming for me, but I
Right.
have a gun.
Well, and
And
I've got a locksmith who's going to meet with me. And it's like,
then she
okay,
misses the locksmith, of course,
of
who
course.
made a night call.
And she sees lights on upstairs at Ollybrook. So she loads her rifle. We all know she's an excellent shot, but is less so in the dark, apparently.
Well, no, she was startled by the reappearance of her children at
Yes.
a when she has a gun out.
Right,
So,
so Fiona and her husband pull up to Ollybrock, and she's like, "What the fuck are you
but Rob Cameron was at their place,
doing
so
here?"
they had to go back.
Well, right, but she doesn't know that, and these robbers or burglars are, like running out of the house. She's
Her
trying,
coworkers.
yeah, she's trying to shoot them, and Rob Cameron tries to block them in as they try to escape in the van. This is so
I'm
weird.
not entirely certain what they were looking for. Like, I guess they were looking for
The
the letters, but
or
like,
the cash?
I
I don't
would have
know.
assumed that Rob had already taken those.
He had to have taken at least
He
one.
had to have, unless he committed all that shit to memory. And Brianna, when she was handing off the kids to Fiona, already gave them the box of the letters. So,
Right.
like, I'm just confused about what they were looking for at that stage in the game because, like. She Brianna in
Either the letters or
indirect
the money.
well Brianna already indirectly confirmed that the gold does exist in North Carolina, but like
She doesn't say North Carolina, though.
no indirectly by like him speaking to her and her being like, well, where's my son? And I know that, and her being nervous by it, obviously it's true. So he already knows where the in a general sense, that the gold is not at the fucking castle.
Right, but there
So.
might be like a treasure map. So he's thinking there's a treasure map. This pirate gold, Natalie,
It's
don't you
dumb.
want a map with an X on it? Clearly, Sir Philip does.
Those
So,
maps suck ass, by the way.
yeah, they
Those are
do.
not descriptive at all. You have no idea where you are. X does not mean, like,
Mark
unless
the
you have a
spot.
scale on that goddamn map, you don't know where the fuck you are.
Fair.
Sorry.
So
That's my thing on treasure.
So, Rob Cameron tries to block them in at Lallybroch. Fiona's husband drives around them. They get to town, but the van breaks down. And the whole time, Fiona's husband's like, why don't you just go to Boston and hang out with Roger for a little while? And Brianna's kind of like, Boston, sure. And she fixes the van and tells Fiona, yeah, we need to go to Roger. That's what she
Yeah.
says. And that's the end of that part of the episode. So, you want to talk about other things
The
like
past.
the 1770s, not
Yeah.
1739, 1770s.
All right. Well, young Ian and Rachel are going to get married. They're going to do a Quaker ceremony where they are going to be moved by the spirit and then married, I suppose. So they are also trying to get Denzel there in time because if you forgot, Denzel was at the rebel camp where Lord John Grey was. And so Denzel is able to come to the wedding. He meets up with Jamie and he's like, oh, is Lord John back? And then Jamie's like, no, what, you don't, how did you know he wasn't here? And it's just like, oh, He was at this rebel camp and he was about to get killed, but he did escape. So we do find out that from the cliffhanger from the last episode, Lord Jean Grey escaped. We don't know where he is though. We find out about that later. So young Anne and Rachel, they have this like silent Quaker moment. It reminded me so much of Fleabag, where I was expecting
It's like a
someone.
silent retreat.
Well, no, not that, but like the actual Quaker meeting that they go to in season two, where she stands up and she'd be like, "Oh, I think I would be less of a feminist if I had bigger tits."
Oh, those were Quakers? I thought they were.
Yes, it was her being
Oh.
moved by the spirit.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she goes there with the priest, and that seemed odd. I don't think I remember that being a Quaker thing, but yes.
Or maybe I got the line wrong, but
No,
it was
it's
very
definitely
funny.
something like that. But yeah, no, the whole friends thing, and they sat there for like 15, 20 minutes. Even Rolo was bored. Rolo went to sleep. And so they are taking their time getting around to having vows. But what happens is that Denzel decides to speak. I mean, there are a couple other people who speak, but Denzel decides to speak, and he essentially gets into an argument with Rachel
Well, because of
because he
his
feels
guilt.
guilty. Yeah.
Because he feels like he was the reason that she didn't get permission to get married from the meeting, and because he was cast out of the meeting first, which is new information to us, I think. But he was cast out of the meeting because he wanted to go help in the army and be a doctor and all that stuff. But it was so close to violence, I guess too close to violence for the meeting.
Well, no, I guess what it is, like, because he was going off to join the army, even though he's a doctor, they figure army is violence,
That's what I
and
just
even
said.
treating people is, even treating people is like condoning the violence that causes the injury. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It really doesn't,
No.
honestly. He's still healing them. And so he feels guilty about that, and he feels guilty that they didn't get anything like this marriage, like blessed or whatever. And Rachel's like, you don't need to feel that way. And he obviously feels bad for not being able to provide for her and all that stuff, usual older brother types things.
But he finally, when she starts standing up for herself, he's like, "But I know I don't have to now because you have Ian, and clearly that, without all of this, you wouldn't be with Ian, and you need to be with Ian, and that's awesome."
Yeah, and so everything's fine and they get married. And then they have a wedding night and it's kind of funny how the Quaker girl and young Ian, who wasn't even a character we liked at the beginning, they have become part of the like what's keeping Outlander going as in the sex department. It's very funny to me because their scenes are full of a lot different energy than the Claire and Jamie scenes are nowadays. And not to say that Claire and Jamie scenes aren't good or the actors aren't doing a great job. It's not that at all. I just feel like the writing is a little bit more peppy and quick and witty for Rachel and young Ian compared
It's just
to.
new. It's just different.
It's not like that different, but like it's at least something newer now. It's something we haven't seen in a while, so it feels fresh. And so I don't think I had that opinion initially, but I certainly have it now. So I'm glad that they're here doing their thing. And Rachel is a little horny monster. We love that for her.
Yeah, she clearly has been waiting,
Oh yeah.
waiting.
And you know what? Fair enough, girl.
Yeah, it is fair enough. And of course, beautiful people doing beautiful things.
And we
We
love to
can.
see it. Oh, and she's gorgeous. Oh
Yeah,
my God.
she
Of
is.
course.
I mean, of course, we haven't really like seen her hair or anything at this point. She's like gorgeous,
Oh my God.
blazing.
Don't even get me started. She's beautiful. Everyone on fucking Outlander is beautiful. So Jamie is now, he's like up at night thinking of Lord Jean Grey and Claire fucking in this bed. And he is also concerned for Lord Jean Grey because even though he escaped, he has not come home. And obviously, I think that that should be a clear sign that you didn't make his own home welcoming to him. So they're literally staying in his house, and he's just like, you fucked my wife, so you don't get to keep the house. She's like, what?
That's exactly what it is. They're
treating it.
Well, I mean, they are definitely squatters. I mean, there's no question
they
about
took the big bed.
But the thing that happens, like it's all this occupation stuff because the Brits have been sent out of Philadelphia, then
That's
the
talking about next
properties,
episode,
yeah,
but
but they are they're just taking possession of the house because he is a continental general at this
it's
point.
just inconsiderate.
Saying it's considerate, not at all. So yeah.
So we see Lord John Grey,
Yeah.
and he is on the run.
With
He
his
still
eye
has
patch.
his manacles on, but he gets caught by another group of rebels, and he's like, "Oh, I'm my two middle names, so don't worry about it. I'm Bertram something or other Armstrong."
Yeah, so we had seen a flashback like briefly where he's
That's
talking
next
to
episode.
is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
Right,
we don't know that it's his two middle names until next episode, but I'm telling you
no,
right now.
it's his two middle names.
And so he's
Yay.
just like, oh, I'm Bertram Armstrong. I was on my way to go help, to go sign up for the Continental Army when the British took me prisoner and didn't like that. And that's why I have manacles on. And the rebels are just like, okay, well, we'll help you with your dire straits by inducting you into the army right now.
Yeah.
That's next episode, but it's funny.
Yeah. And the only other thing that happens in that timeline is that Jamie has a pretty new uniform.
Yay.
Yay. And that's the end of the episode. So, what were your best parts?
Young Ian and Rachel, really cute, hot. Rolo, beautiful boy.
I didn't
Sweet, sweet
write down
boy.
Rolo. Oh my goodness,
Jemmy
Rolo.
listening to his mom's instructions. This is why you listen.
Yeah.
Men
Yeah.
listening, we love to see it. And
True.
Lord John Grey for thinking on his feet.
Yeah, I only wrote down the wedding and Rolo. I should say, I kind of like Brianna, being tough with
Oh,
it.
I do like that, yeah.
I like, Fiona's a real one.
Oh, I also like Brianna.
So yeah. But it's not much. What were your worst parts?
Twin telepathy. Are we kidding right now? Like, that's so fucking dumb. Like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, I know that we've set this up, but what even. Even though it's set up, it's still so fucking dumb to me that we have twin telepathy. I think it would have. I know they aren't, but there's nothing more I can describe it as. But, like, I think it would have been so much smarter if Brianna was like, where would you stash a small child, make him scared, and know that he's not going to go anywhere other than your house? Okay, where did they trap me the first time I even met them?
These are not
Why,
creative
like,
people.
why not just immediately be like, what if he went to the mines? Not the mines, but
The tunnels.
the
It feels like
tunnels.
the mines.
I mean, he is about like 10, 12. Maybe he was sent to
Yeah.
the mines.
I got sent to the
Rob
mines
Cameron and his goons. Fuck you. This is literally you're kidnapping a child for gold. Like, tell me you aren't a cartoon villain in that scenario.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck are you doing? Looking for a fucking pirate treasure map to gold that's not even in this country or continent. You are so fucking dumb. Also, like, just do literally anything else with your time. We don't even know. This could be. That entire chest could have been filled with shit that was all part of like a fantasy novel. Like, you don't know if any of that's fucking real.
Also true.
Fucking dumbasses.
Oh.
And a new timeline question mark question mark? Unclear.
Yeah, I mean,
And
I think.
I don't like how unclear that is. I feel like if they were going to address it has to be addressed in this last season, obviously, but I don't think they are.
I know. And if they like settle on a multiverse universe bullshit, like I hate that as a plot so much as anyone who may or may not have listened to any of our other series on just about anything, especially Umbrella Academy. I hate multiverse shit so much. I mean, and honestly, Umbrella Academy in the first couple of seasons does it pretty well,
Yeah.
but it always seems to devolve in chaos. It's a chaos theory thing, and I'm just not. I don't
like chaos
One
here.
thing I will say about multiverse stuff is that the only time I really like multiverse stuff is when it's like a one-off thing for comedy of like, here's me from a different dimension if I made different choices, and it's like a completely opposite character and the characters are meeting or whatever. I find that funny, but the
There's
other
an original Star Trek episode called Mirror Mirror that's just like that.
There's also a Glee episode called Props
There's
where
Glee.
Gina Cho and Kang hits her head in
Okay.
the ball fountain, and she wakes up to be Rachel Berry, and everyone around her has switched personalities into a different character. That's the shit I like. But
Just wow. Okay.
you don't want to know what's going on in my mind.
I do
So,
not.
what are your worst?
My worst part is the only thing I write was bored. OBS, I hate the change in timeline shit. And I dislike some of the other parts, but the thing I hate the most is how bored I am in this episode. It's like these are concepts that could be interesting, but they don't give them more complex concepts any time, like this change in the timeline thing that actually, like this is an actual intellectual thing. They don't want to give that time because they know they're doing this as a cheat. And I hate that because they cannot have the intellectual integrity to actually write about it. And that pisses me off. So because that approach bores me, I put down boredom.
Okay.
What grade did you give this episode?
C minus.
I gave it a D.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Season 7, episode 14. Yadina get you sit. This is actually our
Autocorrect me. You gotta get used to it.
Donna. Okay, like Donna somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so where should we start with this? 1739?
We don't have any
There's
some.
no
Oh,
17.
what? No, it's
No.
just passed.
Oh.
Well, also, I completely forgot to mention Roger is starting to have this thought at the end of last episode where he's like, maybe Jemmy isn't in this timeline because maybe that Jeremiah,
Oh
the
my
Jeremiah I
God,
was thinking of,
Natalie. Natalie, I'm looking at our notes.
what?
This whole thing with Fiona in the van is this episode.
I had that feeling, but I wasn't going to say anything.
Just don't care.
Yeah,
And then
we already covered it.
I was bored in the last episode, but okay. All right.
Okay, whatever. But also, Roger from last episode was like, maybe the Jeremiah I was looking for ended up being my dad, and Jemmy's actually back in the present. So,
Hey.
okay. He's having that thought just off the top of his head, maybe. And Brianna's like,
Oh,
maybe I need to figure out.
you are forgetting it. No, I'm sorry. You said that, and I want to talk about something that like is so stupid right at the end. Like all of a sudden, Roger and William Mackenzie have horses and are riding in the snow. Like they were barely having enough money to walk
It
around,
also wasn't snowing
and
last
it wasn't
time
snowing.
we
It's
talked
like,
about.
what in the fuck bullshit is this? So no, there's no 1739 timeline here. We do have the 1970s.
Which is all we just said, which
Sorry.
Brianna, yeah, I was gonna say something, but I was like, you know what? Let's just get all our feelings out. Let's not focus too much on it. It's not that important.
It's not, but it
Well,
does reduce my best parts for the last episode. Just saying.
yeah,
Okay.
well, either way, she, yeah. I still think that Brianna is good in that episode. She's fine, but I mean, she does basically everything right, but whatever. So,
Here we
this is where
go.
we get the flashback of Lord John Grey talking to his brother, and it's really not, it's only a vehicle for us to learn his middle name and for him to seem like a traitor to the crown when he's forcibly like having to swear in as part of the Continental Army because otherwise he'll die.
Yeah, and he had
So,
sworn to his brother that he wouldn't.
whatever. I
Whatever.
don't care.
But they have lengthy discussions about kids and stuff,
It doesn't
which
matter. It
it
really
really is
doesn't.
stunningly boring.
So the
And so,
Continental Army has taken over Philadelphia. Washington wants to have a dinner, and they're like, we're doing it at Claire and Jamie's house for plot convenience.
yeah,
And
we have an
so,
abduction obnoxious lieutenant who comes in, or lieutenant, I guess,
Now.
who comes in and tries to commandeer the house while they're living in it. They're,
Mrs. Fig is an icon. It's like, fuck you.
it's like,
If
fuck you,
you're
right?
gonna
You're gonna
cook,
help me
yeah.
cook, dude. And in the most
Oh
outlandish
my
or outlandish
God.
way,
It's so
Claire
fucking
goes to the
dumb.
market to get like supplies to cook the dinner and physically runs into
Marquis
Marquis
de
Lafayette.
Lafayette.
They have a discussion. There's a little bit of French. He promises her cheese.
And
It
he's
is
basically bringing a charcuterie
stupid.
board. It's like,
Yeah, it's
okay,
like,
well, I'll bring the red,
I'll bring the
you
appetizers.
bring the charcuterie board, and then we're gonna have a great fucking time.
And they do. It's a really nice dinner.
Anyway, so they have the dinner and they circle jerk about American independence, and General Lee is generally exhausting. And
You really worked on that one, didn't you?
I didn't have to reach far, and
No.
neither did fucking
Hey,
Outlander. So.
let us point out that in pretty much every current fictionalized thing about the War of Independence in the United States, General Lee is not a popular character. I mean, we're talking like he's
Because
made
he
fun
went
of,
against Washington,
well,
America's daddy.
yeah, he's made fun of in the musical 1776, which isn't even a modern thing.
No.
He is made fun of in
In
Hamilton.
Hamilton. I'm a general. Wee!
He's made fun of here because, he's from
Fuck that
the
guy, I
Shaytag.
guess. It's not like he had a whole other history to
It's
himself.
yeah,
It's
it's not
not
like
like he's a human being with
he
complex
it's
like
not
emotions.
exactly. We don't care about any of that.
It's a lot like the Benedict Arnold thing of just like which usually Outlander's a
Outlander,
little bit
yeah.
more open-minded about that, but for fucking General Lee, they're like, fuck this guy. It's like, but Benedict Arnold, the known traitor
Give him
to the US,
sympathy. Like, are
they
you
give him
fucking
sympathy,
kidding
but
me?
not General Lee. Not to say that you can't still have like or here's another example. Bonnie Prince Charlie, who is thought of as this like paragon of rebellion in Scotland, he wasn't shown favorably. He was
Yeah.
given multiple facets to him.
Right.
Even the fucking King of France was given multiple facets of Huppin' and Pumpin'. And yet with General Lee, they completely give up on any nuance, and it's just like he was a bad guy. Literally,
So
what
fucking
has
stupid.
changed between the first half of this season and this half of the season?
Absolutely nothing other than the writers didn't want to deal with it.
Hey,
They would
they.
rather like expand on some stupid lieutenant, or even worse, Lafayette's buddy servant dude. So
Bichon,
whatever. Yeah. Oh,
who
Bichon.
turns out to be
Bichon.
somebody completely different.
Right. But Claire initially thinks, oh, we might be related. And he's like, nope. But he's pretending to be French. And he said,
Just wait till you find out who this fucking guy is.
it's pretty
I
funny.
didn't care about him, so I barely made a
And
note
he
about him. And
still
then
does.
he comes back at
Yeah,
the end of the
he
episode to
does.
just shock us,
It,
shock and awe.
well, in his own special way, but I wasn't that odd. Anyway,
So
somebody had their
William.
mouth open. It was not
Oh,
me.
also, like when they're leaving, since Lafayette brought the charcuterie board, Washington brought a Betsy Ross flag, and so Claire geeks out about that, even though
Yeah.
that's not her specialty
Okay,
in history.
I will say this. You talk about it being a circle jerk about American independence. It's actually a nicely, there are nicely written speeches in there.
I think I'm just jaded towards Outlander right
Yeah, I
now.
think it's much more that than anything else.
That I think that it's not that it's written poorly. It's not that these conversations are not meaningful in the context of when they are going to be taking place. It's more just like I don't need another one, you know?
That's certainly part of it. Yes, they like to make speeches,
They love to make
obviously.
speeches.
But I also think that this show feels very bloated, and that's a
Yeah,
big problem.
I think what in my opinion, I think that we are seeing way too much of George Washington. Like,
Unrealistically so, yes.
yes, because, like, I don't know. It's just,
Yeah,
like, why
Washington.
is he here? I don't understand why he's here. And I mean, like, I understand in a general sense that he is so important, obviously, and we know that.
Sure.
But, like, was he, like, I don't know. It's the lionizing of him. Whereas I think like something like Hamilton, you see him enough. He has important moments of like speaking his truth and doing all that stuff, but he also makes mistakes and he is shown to be like a human. Whereas like in Outlander, again, they're doing the fucking thing with they're doing with General Lee, but in the opposite direction of like, oh, he did nothing wrong ever. Oh, he's perfect. Oh, he's wonderful. And not to say that you should like air out all of General Washington's like
Laundry.
supposed dirty laundry or whatever. But I don't know.
But they're
I feel
also
like
giving a lot
Outlanders.
of airtime, which they
Yeah.
don't for generally.
And
So,
so with that airtime, they're not doing anything nuanced with him.
no.
And so he barely feels like a character. He feels like a caricature.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm bothered by the most in, and I think that's
Well.
pinpointing why I don't like this scene so much. It's because like, oh, we've got Lafayette, who's the classic Frenchman who's very flirty and brings charcuterie boards. And then we've got General
Yes,
Lee, who's
he
pissy about like things that have happened in the past and battles they've lost because of like either Washington or him or whatever incompetence. And then we've got General Washington just looking forward to the future they may build and blah, 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 blah. And I feel like we're losing a lot of nuance with characters that we could easily add to because I think that,
Add to without taking away from the main plot,
for
because
example,
this is the main plot now, is
in
revolution.
Hamilton, history has its eyes on you with like, I made a million mistakes. I led so many people into a massacre. I whatever. He's not perfect.
And he knows
And
it.
he is aware of that. He also knows he's making history.
Right.
So, like, it's so. Oh, fucking Hamilton's so good. But, like,
He lives, he dies, he writes your story. It
here's another.
matters.
Here's another element to this. I love American Revolution history. It is probably like that. It's that itch in my brain that I really, really like learning about. And that's probably why I like Hamilton. And my dad loves, our listener,
We
loves
should go back.
1776.
Yeah, we should go back to Williamsburg sometime. It'd be
Oh, I love that.
so fun.
But I think the thing is, it's like, I love this part of history, and Outlander's like ruining it for me just because they are just making it complete caricature, just baseline, two-dimensional characters when you could easily expand into it because they're not interested in expanding into it because they are not, forgive me, they're not American. They
No.
are British. They are
No.
Irish. They are Scottish. They are whatever. And that's totally fine. It's not like they're taking the wrong stance in history, but they're clearly not caring.
Yeah, but Diana Gabaldon is American, so it's not
I'm
like,
talking about the writers of the show.
well, okay, and I have no idea whether they're American or not, but they are writing for people who are not native, I guess.
I think, not to say that they are ruining anything. It's more just like, even though I just said that,
You
they're
did that.
not ruining anything. It's just, I feel like if they were going to show this much of American history to go deeper than just the baseline, like, oh, well, General Washington is very well known and very well liked in, or idolized and whatever.
Well, you know, honestly, I think they are trying to do some. There are other shows that are out there that are interesting. I watched Turn, which is about Washington spies, and it's semi-historical
Oh,
in
the John
ways.
Adams
The
show
John
and
Adams series, that was really
Paul
good.
Giamatti.
Yeah, that was really good.
Like,
So
there are so many, and
there are a lot of things that we can look at from the colonial period, and you know, it's a well-documented period as well.
it
So
should be.
I feel like this show isn't about history really anymore.
It
It's more
doesn't feel
about
like it is.
romance. And of course, there are so many romances because we have 8 zillion fucking characters and
That's
we're
also
just
true.
adding more in this scene. Like, let's add some more people, like the fucking Lafayette guy,
I feel like
literally.
since we've
Ugh.
moved to America, they.
Bertrand.
Okay. Since we've moved to America, obviously they just wanted to go to wherever the next war was. So they're like, America, even though they also could have
But
moved to
yeah,
Paris and had like civil
French
unrest
Revolution as
there.
well.
And sent Parisian troops over to America and like whatever to aid the whatever the fuck. But I think they've just lost. I don't know. They took such care in like the earlier seasons about like the Scottish Revolution and
Loved it.
Culloden and all that stuff. It was all built up too. It was all a big deal. Yes. Whereas now they're just kind of like skating through, and it's more about the drama and less about like historical like events. Like obviously we got to see Battle of Saratoga, and Claire offhandedly mentions, "Oh yeah, the Battle of Yorktown is where we win." It's like, yeah, but like we got to get there first.
You know that Jamie's sitting there thinking, Yorktown, I haven't, and one, we haven't talked about Yorktown. Yorktown, I mean, you know, in his mind, because this is years away at this
Yeah,
point.
no, literally.
So, like, you're giving away some of it. And but she talks about that in the context of Lafayette, right? Like, well, Lafayette's going to bring troops over to help us win the Battle of Yorktown, wins the war, blah, blah, blah. Lafayette did a lot more than that.
Yeah.
A lot
And so
more than
did like
that.
a lot of other people.
Yeah, so well,
But either
anyway.
way, I generally think that they have gotten a little bit lazier with the shoehorning in historical figures. They are making them less three-dimensional and just kind of letting them be what history thinks that they are, which they didn't used to, and that's disappointing me. That's it. So moving on from a section of the show that I never thought I would speak that much about, because what the fuck was that? But so meanwhile, we go to William, who's at the moose camp.
Wee
I
Willie.
guess he's in New Jersey. That's where
Yeah, so Clinton is, General Clinton has been seen by young Ian, because he's of course spying for the Continental Army. And General Clinton, you know, was seen with a camp much closer to Philadelphia than they thought. And of course, you know, Philadelphia is right across the river from New Jersey, and Clinton was there with a large cohort, which means they're going to have another battle soon.
Yeah.
And so Wee Willie's division, whatever,
Yeah.
is going to be part of Clinton's group.
Am I remembering correctly that there was a Battle of Trenton?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, there are actually a couple, but yes.
Yes, but generally speaking, I'm just proud of myself for remembering
Yeah.
that from A Push.
There you go.
That was years ago.
Yeah.
And even though I do love American Revolution history, it's more pre-revolution that interests me, like the civil unrest leading to like Boston Tea Party, Boston Massacre, that was like a massacre in the most basic of terms.
Yeah, but still, it was
It
very
was influential, obviously,
profound for its time and in its context. So,
but less on the battlefront in my brain.
anyway, so Wee Willie is in his camp, and he is approached by
Jane.
Jane and her sister, who's
Frances.
very young, and she's like, "Hey, we got to be here. I'm trying to protect my sister
From that Kaplan
from
guy who
that
came
Kaplan
back.
guy." And she wants to be basically his concubine, and he's like, "No, I'll get you a job in the laundry." And she's like, "I don't want to work in the laundry.
I don't know how to use money. I've never had it before.
I don't know how to buy the things that you need to do that job," because she's been in a brothel since she was 10, and all of her needs were paid for. Like she earned money, but she never
And she
bought
probably never
anything.
got a day off to like even
Go
think
shopping
about
or
going shopping.
whatever. Yeah.
Why did my voice get that way?
I don't know.
Yeah, we're fine. I'm fine.
Sinuses. So she's trying to convince him, and he's like, "Look, you can stay in the camp, work in the laundry, stay away from the soldiers, and no being a prostitute. If you're under my protection, you're not a prostitute anymore. We're
Yeah.
not doing that."
Which is very sweet.
It is very sweet.
And mostly she's trying to protect Frances because she would be content enough, or at least she says so, that she would be content enough to continue to be a whore, but she does not want that life for Frances. And William understands that, and so he's just
Because
like, we
Frances
need to
is
keep.
really young.
She's like 10.
Maybe, yeah.
She's so such a baby, and we do not want that for her. So they go about whatever, and William is asleep one night. It's, I guess, the night before a battle. And so Jane sneaks into his room, his tent, and straddles him, ready to have sex with him because she knows that guys get all like
Worked up
whatever
before.
before battle.
So it's a mortality thing, like the idea that
Last fuck on earth, I suppose.
Yeah, and it kind of goes both ways, I guess, before and after,
We
but
will find out
supposedly.
like how these people are interconnected in ways we did not know before
Later.
later. But it's just something to keep in mind.
Yep.
So considering they've already fucked, but he's like, no, I don't want to do that. I think mostly what he doesn't want is pity, and
Right,
he
and
thinks
he
this is a pity sex deal kind of thing. Like, it's like, I don't want that.
well, and he had been worried about that the very first time. He had been worried about that even the second time she convinced him that no, she really wanted to be with him. And she's unconvincing this time because he's like, oh, you just are trying to be a prostitute again. You're just trying to, get something from me. This shouldn't be an exchange like that. And it's like, yeah, he's oversimplifying, basically,
He is
but.
because he is still having that misconception of this is not something that she wants,
Yeah.
because she's basically said as much. She does not want to be a whore. She has been that forever. That's like her go-to whatever to make someone feel better to do that.
Sex is her only recourse in every way, like for
Yeah.
work, for emotion, for anything. Like
And he
all he
doesn't
knows how to
understand
do.
that, so he thinks of it as pity when she's clearly trying to express an emotion.
She wants a connection,
Yeah.
and physical is the way she does it.
Yeah. And
So.
he doesn't understand that because he's a guy.
Yeah, well, not just because he's a guy, but he's a different kind of person. Let's put it that way.
So then later on, Jane is like, all right, well, I did your laundry once, so I'm out of this, and me and Francis are going to go to New York without you because I don't want you to feel like I'm pitying you and you to pity me. So that's not going to work here, because she's really proud and prideful and all that stuff. So,
He's like, but.
and then he kind of figures out that it's like, all right, well, why can't you go back to Philadelphia? Like, you went to an army full of soldiers, including potentially the captain you're afraid of. What happened there? So she explains. So the captain did come back. He was eyeing my sister, who is a virgin. Obviously, she's 10. And
He
she.
was going to pay £20 for her maidenhead.
Like a fucking creep. And
Yes.
she knew that how he liked it, toying with people and making it hurt and all that stuff. She really did not want that for her. And
For her sister, yes.
so she went upstairs with her under the guise of, I'm gonna make sure she doesn't make a fuss or whatever. And she ends up killing the guy. And William's just like, well, why did you even go back there if you thought that he was gonna come back? And she's like, I wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
He was a fucking
So it's
asshole.
kind of premeditated, which makes it a little bit less easy to defend.
Yes, but he sucks.
Yeah, but yeah, you can't, no matter how much someone sucks, it's not self-defense if it's revenge. Just pointing that out from a legal standpoint.
I don't, whatever. It's very, it puts her in a sympathetic light in that she was defending her sister and from an awful man who was
Right. I
trying
mean,
to hurt her.
in the moment, there is a self-defense angle. It's just there, she has also admitted to a premeditated, like, I'm setting this up to have an excuse to kill him, which you're not really supposed to do either. But of course, in the moment, she probably was actually defending her sister.
Yeah.
So.
So they escaped, and that's why they're on the run and can't go back to Philadelphia. So William's just like, all right, well.
Well, look, I've got a thing I've got to do because he has been given, well, and actually, no, that comes later.
It
So.
comes later, but he's also like, I need to finish up my work here before we move on.
Right, so you got to lie low, and I will take you to New York myself, but you got to lie low. And so he gets a commission from the creepy boss. This is the guy who admitted to Claire that he was a spy. Creepy boss is like, hey, I've got this note. You've got to deliver it to some Hessians. And the outcome of tomorrow's battle depends on this. And of course, he really doesn't know anything about spies or anything else. Where I mean, he
He
does.
lost the last message in a swamp,
Right.
so
So
he's not really good at it.
he's not good at it, but he's like, no, I'll definitely get this one, right?
He's not good at espionage.
He's right. He's not. But so he's given another note that he's got to deliver. Meanwhile,
we've got Lord John Grey. Well, Claire's doing her medical thing.
With the Continental Army. Just as background, the reason that Jamie and Claire are currently with the army is Jamie has to drill his troops before they go off to this battle. And so Claire's checking all of their health.
Yeah. So she looks and sees that Lord John Grey is hiding like a vampire underneath his little collar.
He's like standing within her eye line with his little, collar
That's
up,
so
looking
funny.
over.
With his eye patch
His
and
eye patch. And
everything.
oddly, and we've discussed this today, I feel like he really, really looks like the actor that plays Nate Archibald on Gossip Girl, who also plays the Deep in The Boys. It's like he,
Chase Crawford.
yeah, he is hilarious to me. Hilarious. Super fucking funny. But he's got this leather trench coat and he's got it all.
The pose is more Chuck Bass to me.
The pose is, but his face is way more Nate Archibald.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
So yeah, he looks like a film noir character
He does.
who's just killed her husband, and it's like, little old me, how could I do that? And so he approaches Claire, and Claire's like, holy shit, we gotta help you. So
You're a
he
mess.
is now under house arrest at his own house.
But
And
he turns himself over to Jamie.
of course he does.
And he there's just this constant thing of like taking him in and out of shackles, which is, and he actually says this later, but I'm gonna say it now because it's the title of the episode. He's like, I'm sort of getting used to having these shackles on. And Jamie's like, because of course he was a prisoner in the prison when they first met. He's like, yeah, didn't I get used to it? Don't care. It is
Yeah, and
really
he was
not a good
shackled
title.
most of the time until Lord John Grey took him off. So it's all come full circle. So then Claire performs eye surgery without anesthetic, and of course that must have been very annoying.
We have been laughing about this all day. I am not going to be able to resist. We are going to talk about it here on the podcast. So what Claire says is that the muscles, because you have a break to your orbital bone, the muscle that is holding your eye has gotten stuck. And that's why you can't move your eye. It's gotten stuck in one of the cracks in the break to your orbital bone. So the muscle is stuck in the crack.
And Jamie has to hold him down.
Behind. Because there's a
Anyway,
muscle stuck in the crack.
she fixes him up, and then
And but
Mr.
she physically is turning his eyeball without anesthetic. How much does that hurt?
A lot, I imagine.
I would think
So,
so.
Miss Lieutenant Bichon, he shows up again for some reason, and it's apparently he's Lord John Grey's
Stepfather?
stepbrother,
I didn't
who might be in love with him,
Oh, he's definitely in love with him.
which is weird. That's a
Yeah.
weird added thing of like, firstly, they didn't need to be stepbrothers. They could have just known each other and then been in love with each other. That would have been different. But like, stepbrother and in love, that's too many. That's too many layers. So he essentially what his stepbrother tells him is, hey, they're trying to set a trap for William. They tried to do it with the swamp thing, but he didn't reach his destination because he failed so miserably and ended up with Quakers and young Ian.
They
So
might be a
they're
swamp
trying
thing.
again. They're going to hold him captive, hold him hostage, hold him ransom. And also try to discredit him by making it seem like he's a deserter and also ruin the family name. So, which, okay.
That's
If
elaborate.
he was taken captive by rebels, what, how would that make him a deserter is my question. I guess they'd spin it.
Yeah, like oh, he's one of us or something
I
like that.
guess.
Whatever. But the idea is that they're gonna get kind of a ransom or get Lord John Grey and his brother to say that we should be for independence or something along those lines.
Something like that.
And or but more likely they're gonna kill him. So
Or torture him at least.
right. And then Beauchamp, whose real name is something I can't remember, like comes on to Lord John Grey, and Lord John Grey is like, don't touch me.
His
Here,
stepbrother.
I don't understand this. It does not make sense to me.
So Laura John Grey just essentially tells Jamie, I know you can't leave for an extended period of time right before a battle, but I can. So I
So I'm gonna go, and
gotta
young
go.
Anne's gonna take him. And Claire has fitted him out with a new leather eye patch.
Which looks
Yay.
so much cooler.
Yeah. On. It's hilarious. This is so good.
Had fangs, that would have been funny. God bless America.
Magical time traveling stones that only works for people in a certain family.
The end of the episode. Unreal.
One of
Moving.
the best parts of this episode.
Mrs. Fig, she's a sassy girl and I love her. Oh, Rachel and Young Ian are cute. They have some sexual moments. It's cute. Again, very lively, fresh,
Hey, she's
different.
putting his war paint on. That's
That's
the
hot.
touchy touchy.
William, he's very nice to Jane. Jane,
Yeah, I
you
like her.
defended your sister. I can't fault you for that. That's
The
not good. Oh, and
Lord
Lord
John Grey.
John Grey.
Lord John Grey. That whole eye patch business, very, very funny. Jane, I think, is great. Wee Willie with Jane is really good. I like Brianna in this and Fiona, which of course I put
Yes,
as best
yes.
parts from the last episode. That was a lie. That's best parts from this episode.
Well, they're both in last episode, I think. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they're both in it,
Maybe.
but they don't do like
Maybe
amazing
Fiona
things.
isn't. I don't remember.
Yeah, Fiona's in it, but it's not amazing. So whatever. What were your worst parts?
Shoehorning into historical figures. I've already said my piece on this. I think that they, if they're going to shoehorn historical figures, you got to give us something different.
Yeah.
It's boring otherwise, in my opinion. Then hitting on relatives.
Oh,
That's
yes,
there are two
that's
accounts
their
of that,
bad.
one of which we can't talk about yet, and the other we already talked
Okay,
about
one
with the
is knowing and
stepbrother.
one's unknowing, and I think that that makes a difference.
Yes.
Yeah,
Rob Cameron, fuck you, man. What
I
the
put it as
fuck?
Sir Philip, but oh my God,
And
terrible.
capturing William. Like, this guy has been through so much shit. Like,
He's
I
having a
mean,
bad, bad
look and
patch of
oh my
fingers.
God, there's more. But
Oh,
like,
yeah. But yeah, it's bad.
if you look at his trajectory over this part, or even like last part, even his friend dies, then he is injured on the way to send a secret message that would have gotten him captured otherwise. So it's a good thing he didn't deliver it.
Yeah.
And then he finds out he's a bastard, which he does not vibe with at all. And then he's got to keep these girls safe, and now he's being kidnapped.
It's bad. It's just bad. I
Ay
do feel
vey.
badly for Wee Willie. Yeah, my worst part's Sir Philip, definitely. The spy people, which I are the Hessians, and also this whatever his name is, Richard, Captain Richardson or whatever his name
Oh
is.
yeah, it's Captain Richardson.
And the pacing. I think the pacing is again weird in this episode. But it's not terrible. That's not my biggest complaint. What grade did you give this?
See?
I gave it a C minus. So we have
Two more episodes of season
season seven.
seven.
Yay! Yes,
Then I know what's coming.
we all do.
Well, I know what's coming, and I'm excited to talk about some of
Yeah,
it.
well, I'm excited to talk about some of the stuff that we know is coming, and obviously, a new season has potential. So we have much to cover on Outlander. We hope that you join us, and
Cheers.